All right, welcome back, everybody. Lisa Lynn is here. It's been
a
minute.
Hey, y'all.
And we warmed up having a debate about weddings. It's not a debate. An impassioned conversation that you won't get to hear because I will edit it out. But we're going to talk about the tower job.
I mean, you and I were mostly on the same page about the whole wedding business. So
no, I know. Moving on. We can't talk about it. We don't have time.
Okay.
We are in accord, everybody.
Yes.
Let's move. Here to talk about leverage, not talk about weddings. So, in the tower job, which was, I was going to say when it came out the same day as all the other ones. One member of the team seeks redemption and justice by convincing the leverage crew to con a developer out of an entire luxury apartment building. And this one was directed by our Mr. Harry Wilson, Noah Wiley.
Oh, he directed it too. Interesting.
The fourth episode, let me direct. But I believe he directed a bunch of the librarian episodes. And he's
like in the librarians, it was kind of canon that Flynn is kind of like in and out. So yeah. He's not always there.
Yeah. So.
But Noah was still there directing. So his presence was still there, I guess.
Exactly. Yeah. And this one, I think it's interesting that he got to direct a very like Harry-centered episode. Because that one's been exhausting to be doing both at the same time.
If he's directing, like you would imagine that the character would be kind of like taking more of a backseat so he can focus on the directing part of it. Right.
Yeah. Yeah. But no, really, it's not that way. He's like, go big or go home.
Oh.
It was co-written, so it's got two writers on this one. Marquet Franklin Williams and John Timothy. I don't know about you, but I don't usually trust a man with two first names. So John Timothy.
A whole new writer's room, apparently.
A lot of brand new writers. Mm-hmm. So it's exciting. Like, I think even though they're new, I think they have a really good grasp of the characters.
Let's give it up to Kate Rorick, AKA Kate Noble. Romancelandia ran that room.
I love that Romancelandia is just infiltrated all levels of everything, like local government, Hollywood, like writers' rooms.
And we just raised like 100,000 last week for Afghan and Haiti. We ran two separate auctions and like, no big. It's what we do.
Mm-hmm.
Just don't come mm-hmm. for us. It won't end well.
Oh God, no. Yeah, please don't start a fight with Romancelandia on Twitter or anywhere else. Cause yeah, they will end you. Kate Rorick was interviewed on After Leverage podcast for this episode. So if you haven't listened to that one yet, you should head over after you finish listening to our podcast. And they talked to her about like what exactly a showrunner does and how she got involved with it. I didn't realize that I knew that she had been involved with the librarians, but she wasn't there from the inception of the librarians series. So it's a really cool interview with her. But let's get into the episode. So this is that one that was eerily prescient in the way that a lot of
it came around. There was like a content warning in the beginning. They issued a content because it was so close to Surfside.
Because it was like weeks, a week after it or 2 weeks after it, like very, very close to it. Mm-hmm. Time means nothing in the past year and a half.
Obviously.
Right. So yeah, there was a little trigger warning at the beginning of it. And I'm assuming anybody listening to this has watched the episode. So just don't want to extend that trigger warning again. We're going to briefly talk about a building collapse. But speaking of, this is the Lantern building that they're in, and one of our bad guys, Jason Crawley, which I think it's hilarious. Y'all listening can't see, but Lisa's background is Downton Abbey. So I don't know if she did that on purpose with the Crawley.
I swear to God, it was not on purpose. The universe just told me and aligned, the stars aligned.
I love it. But he shows up on the job site and is berating Mateo, who looks like he's like the head contractor of the job.
He's like the construction foreman, like he's the foreman on the job site or whatever.
Yeah, he's like running things because he's like, why are...
Be such an ass.
Well, what he says is like, why are you... Let me have the line. He's like, why are you bothering with stud reinforcements when these floors needed to be done 3 days ago? Stud reinforcements are so, like, I mean, as you see in a second, are so the floors don't collapse. Like, you need load-bearing beams that go up vertically so that they can bear the load of the building.
Okay, I see, like, I'm going to be honest. I don't have any sort of, like, architectural building or construction, like, background, but... I mean, all I heard was that Mateo was just trying to make sure the building was structurally sound. Yeah. And it sounds like you definitely have more knowledge on this aspect of the storyline than I do.
I have a little, like, my dad has been in construction my whole life and I studied interior design for a brief moment in time, but.
So you do understand some of this.
Yes. Understanding some of this is why I realized I should not be an interior designer, because I would not be type A enough to make sure that I designed a building that wouldn't kill people. So you're welcome, the world.
I just feel like people don't understand how technical like interior design is. It's not just like throw pillows and paint and fabric treatments for the windows. It's like really serious technical stuff.
Yeah. So it's just terrifying. And he's like, I don't care. Just get it done. Time is money. And then he's walking down the stairwell and
telegraphing, like, I'm the villain. This episode. He's telegraphing, I'm the bad guy. You need to hate me now, people.
Yeah. And then he's like, oh, if I didn't telegraph that strongly enough, I'm going to run out of this building without trying to save anybody else. And then I'm going to run away. Hide behind the cab as the building collapses.
But Steve, like, in moments of stress, people's like fight and flight response kind of kick in, though. Like, can you really?
That's true.
I feel like I love y'all, but I also feel like I would be saving my own ass and running the hell out. I would be screaming, get out, get out, get out, but I don't know that I'll be trying to run back and play hero, trying to rescue all y'all. You know what I mean?
I agree. Leaving the building, I agree, but then ditching everybody after that.
Okay, yeah, that's the asshole villain move. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, so he's already in the stairwell. There's no one in the stairwell with him. It makes logical sense to me that his instinct would be to just, like, GTFO, you know, just get out of there.
Correct.
But when he's, like, cringing and, like, hiding behind the car, his face to me seemed like, I knew this was going to happen.
I mean, he wasn't calling, like, 911, emergency services. Like, he didn't, like, after the collapse, he wasn't like trying to get to the debris to try to pull people out or anything like that, right?
Yeah.
I mean, like, I would get the fuck out, but then, like, I would try to dive into the rubble and try to get y'all, but yeah. I'm getting myself out first. Like, that's all I'm saying, Steve.
I think that's all I'm saying. I think you're a villain, don't worry. So far, what else? No, I'm just kidding. And then it fast forwards to 3 years later, and we see Isabella, who is our client, and she's standing in front of a new high-rise, pointing a picture of Crawley's face and trying to tell people who are walking by, this man killed my father, he was in the lantern building, he's not safe, and she's like handing out flyers that no one cares about, and Harry is sitting across the street on a bench that conveniently has the logo for Jason Crawley on it, and he's like watching this. And then you see him show up at her house. And at first to her Theo Javi closes the door in his face, but she comes and lets him in.
Javi. That's a great name, Javi.
I know. Javier.
And it took me like forever to realize that's the Spanish version of the name Xavier. Mm-hmm. It took me way too long to make that connection. Javier Xavier.
And some, like, in the transcript, they spelled it with an X even. So, and I think sometimes it is spelled with an X, but mostly I've seen it with a J.
Yeah, Javier. J-A-V-I-R-A-I-R, yeah.
But I mean, the X in, well, in, no, because the X is usually a sh sound. So I don't know, in the transcripts they had it with an X, and I was like, in my notes, I wrote it with the J. Because
it's I feel like that's more, like, accurate, the J. But yeah.
Well, we could be wrong. So if you are from a Spanish-speaking country, let us know if it's...
Yes.
If you've heard it both ways, to quote Sean Spencer. which psych does exist in this Leverage universe, so...
Correct.
And it's a good reference, if I do say so myself. Anyways, so she's telling Harry the story of her dad.
Uncle Javi is just very standoffish. Like, he's not... He wants no part of the situation.
Yeah. And so he's completely gone for this for the most part. And we find out that the only reason that they're not homeless now is because the Ojavi gets disability and she's been trying to get justice because her dad knew that the building was unsafe and the Crawleys or Mr. Crawley just ignored him. And somehow all the complaints that he made about it, the safety issues,
got hushed up, swept under the rug.
Exactly. And she tells him she doesn't want money or revenge. She only wants it to never happen again. Like, she doesn't even say she wants him. Well, I guess that would mean, like, she wants him to take responsibility.
Or, like, not even, like, justice or accountability. Yeah. Like, yeah. I just don't want this to happen again. I'm like, some people are just a way better human beings than I am.
Yeah, I'd be like, I need him to pay monetarily and in pain.
Like, for a while, this pandemic especially has just brought out my Old Testament Hebrew Bible spiting and wrath side.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not feeling that charitable at the moment.
It is
no, I would be like you. Like, he needs to pay. Hey, he needs to feel some pain. Like, yeah. I would be like you. Like, he needs to feel some pain, y'all.
I know, right? I love that the next scene kind of, like, underscores how we would all be feeling. Like, or how, you know, how we're saying that we felt. Because she's like, I just don't want this to happen to anybody else. But the next scene, you just hear, first we see, like, an older YouTube video of a reporter talking about the case being dismissed and Crawley getting away with it, but it's underscored with Elliot in the background punching his punching bag, and you're like, yeah, that's how I feel too. I want to punch something about this.
Elliot has some feelings.
Elliot has strong feelings, as my horoscope app told me today. Let me see if it's still up. It says, you have strong feelings about things. You're allowed to have strong feelings. Like, thank you, co-star.
But all right. When don't you have strong feelings?
What?
When don't you have strong feelings? I feel like you have very strong feelings and opinions about things. When don't you have strong feelings?
I don't know. I like to say about my feelings, like, nobody needs to know about them, least of all myself. They're none of my business. that's, like, deep down feelings. I don't need to know those. But, like, my opinions on cheese or bread, yes, I have very strong opinions about everyday things. But...
yes, like, Elliot's going to town on the bag.
Parker's up in the balcony with her rigging. She's up there quite a bit, which I love because it's just, like, Hardiman's not in this episode, and he's only mentioned once or twice. And
oh, Lord, yes,
this is I'm so excited to get to that point. But these are things that he made sure this area had for his people. So there was, like, the punching bag right there in the middle of everything for Elliot, so that he can be punching things and also in on the job. And then the ceilings are super high and they're ready for Parker to, like,
do her rigging situation.
Yeah. It's just like, he's made this place for them. And that just, like, reminds the viewer, I think, even subconsciously, that part of
like Hardison takes care of his family.
Yeah, and he's still, even though he's not physically here, he is here. And I'm like, I just love him so much.
I mean, hopefully Aldous Hodges' schedule clears up and he's going to be more featured more heavily on the back end of the season.
I heard a rumor, and now I don't remember where it was. I think it was just on Twitter, that he's going to be in every episode in the second half. Which would be amazing. Also, remind me later for my heist light that I had a dream. A leveraged dream last night, and that's what I'm going to talk about. And I just remembered it, so don't let me forget. Oh,
excellent, because I have no high slate, so yay.
I figure our episodes run really long, so if we don't have a high slate, it's okay. So Sophie chides Harry for going and seeking out a client because she says usually they let the clients find them. And I was like, is that true though? I want to say like 50% of their clients they find. They
remember when like the first incarnation of Leverage in Los Angeles didn't like hardest to say he has like algorithms like in the running and like picking up news stories so they can find clients to reach out to.
Yeah. So that's going against and literally in the last episode, his algorithm on TikTok is what led them to that client. So I'm like, Sophie, what? Sophie's just salty that he did this on his own, which, as we see, she has good reason to be salty about. And Brianna asks, like, how did he get away with this? And Harry kind of deflects and says, well, he had an army of lawyers, obviously. But he also, like a Medici from the Renaissance, moved up his wedding to a very powerful socialite named Krista. And her family connections helped lose all the files that were incriminating, and also their money propped up his real estate company.
And then Brianna's also like, she also did. How long, see?
A year?
A year at the Royal College of Art.
In London.
So she thinks she has taste.
And I just, it's...
You understand why, like, we're harping on this point later.
Oh, yeah. And it is simultaneously so good and so annoying. And, like, that's why.
But I also feel like that is, like, a nouveau riche thing. That they would name, they would do that. Chris is supposed to be old money. Old money doesn't do that.
That's true.
Like old money doesn't do that. Old money doesn't care. Like,
no, they don't brag. You wouldn't know unless you... Yeah.
You wouldn't even know they're old money unless they decide to tell you. Mm-hmm. Like, that's how old money they are.
Accidentally, something slips and you're like, that's not normal.
Like, oh, my uncle who's on the board of trustees at Harvard or something, you know.
Or you, like, walk by a building and you're like, oh, hey, that's so funny. That building has your last name. And they're like, oh, yeah, that was named for my uncle, you know, in 1890 or whatever.
Right, like, you know, you go to Harvard and there's Endicott Hall and then your roommate has a name like Henry Prescott Endicott III. I'm like, you start to put two and two together.
Exactly. You know? No, definitely she gives off very much new money vibes.
But they're saying she's old money. So I felt like they kind of missed the mark a little bit.
Were they new money or did they just say she was rich?
I'm pretty sure they said old money.
Let me see. I've got the transcript. This season, we're using transcripts from tvshowtranscripts.ourboard.org. Just want to give them credit. Here we go. Krista Moore Crawley. Oh, they do say old money family, posh education. Yeah, also, she only did a year? Like, where was she the rest of the time? She just did a study abroad program? Like,
so it's not like she actually has a degree from the Royal College of Art.
Yeah. Later, oh my god, okay, well, let's keep going so we can talk
about it. But, like,
he's ridiculous.
But, was I right? Like, they say she's old money,
You're right.
So, like, they missed the mark there.
But maybe she's just trashy.
Look, there's a difference between a Kardashian and a Boston Brahmin. That's all I'm saying.
I got it, no.
Like, they're saying she's a Brahmin, but she's acting like a Kardashian.
Yes. No, her family, this is my theory now, her family is technically old money, but her dad she is the daughter of like his third wife, who was basically Kardashian, you know? Like she
married. So she gets it from that side of the family.
Yeah. She's mixed.
Okay. So that theory makes sense. So that's what we're going with.
How about
Krista has the old money side and she also has the trashy nouveau rich side. And that's exactly. Her true nouveau trashy rich side.
Anna Nicole Smith stuff happening. May she rest in peace. Prominent Texan.
You can't diss a fellow Texas girl like that. Come on.
Did I not say rest? May she rest in peace? I think if you rewind the tape, you'll find that I did, Your Honor. Okay, so we established that Jason and this couple, Jason's the salesman, but Krista has the power, so there's this imbalance there. And they're like
very much like a Lady Macbeth kind of, Lady Lord and Lady Macbeth kind of situation. Yes.
Yeah. And Brianna's like got the blueprints of this new building that they're working on, and Parker's really proud of her, and she's like, yeah, I had to step up my game. But then you see a flashback of this man just giving her the blueprints.
So stuff like that, like, is public information, so you just go to City Hall and ask.
Mm-hmm.
I think especially since for that sort of thing you need to file permits and licenses and things, like, yeah, you have to file that stuff. So yeah. It kind of makes sense that would be public information.
And I think that Leverage is so good at informing the regular person that, oh, hey, all of this stuff is easier to do than you think it is. And this is one of those things where you're like, that seems dangerous to know, you know?
You could just log online to your city's website and order that, a copy of it online, perhaps. Perhaps you don't even need to go to City Hall yourself.
Yeah.
Perhaps. We make it that easy for you people.
Exactly. And I like that Brianna's, you're just giving it to me? Oh, okay.
But she's still playing it off because I still feel like she's still trying to prove herself to the team. So she's going to pretend that it was like a whole production.
But she did the work. She went down there. And what millennial to Gen Zer would go down to a physical building to do something. Not me, as a millennial, not me. So Harry thinks, okay, all we do is just prove that this new building is unsafe and alert the authorities, and then bing, bam, boom, nobody's gonna die and we will do this. But the only problem is, Elliot points out, this is the safest building in the country.
Because they're actually living there. So they're actually gonna make sure it's actually okay.
And this is one of our Hardison referenced moments that's so good, because Parker says it's like the Klingon phrase, and then she speaks in Klingon and she even does like the chest thump with the fist, and Elliot translates it, and it's even a fool buys stone for his house. And they all just look at them and he's like, Hardison bet me that I couldn't learn the language. He lost. And Brianna says, did he?
And then Elliot realizes he's been Jedi mind tricked. He lets out the damn it, horse.
I know. He doesn't even say it. He's just like, argh. And Parker like smiles. I really like that this is like, we didn't have a Star Trek reference in the last episode, but we've had one every other episode. And it also reminds us about Hardison, but it's a really big hint as to how much time, like, they've been together for 8 years, the three of them, and how much time they spent together, enough that Elliot studied an entire language, and Parker too, apparently, to be able to speak it fluently.
I mean, and it's interesting to me that this whole season started with them having to coax Sophie, who was basically pulling a Nate. Basically, yeah. Coaxing her back into the game, so she's out, she doesn't want in. And when the original series ended, it was now Parker who was running the team now. But yet, Sophie has transitioned very easily into the main position. She is she's now running the team, basically.
Yeah.
So she made that transition pretty quickly, I must say.
Yeah. I kept watching for Parker to kind of chafe at that since she was really running things. I do think that the three of them were running it as like a trio. So I don't know if any one of them was
the person. So they were kind of like, yeah, so the kind of the three of them worked together as like a team. So it wasn't Parker like.
Yeah, there wasn't a hierarchy, I don't think. They just all like did what they were good at and filled in for each other, which when Parker is like, I told you to practice your thief skills, Elliot did, and he was great at the vents, you know, they're all practicing each other's skills so that they are.
And Sophie came in, I feel like the mom and dad and kids dynamic back in, kind of like, you know. Like it
always does when you go home for the holidays. You know, you're a perfectly functioning adult, and then you go back, and now you're fighting.
And you are like 10 years old again. You are 10 years old again.
It's really hard not to fall back into those patterns. Yes. But I kept waiting for it. And there is one scene where Parker's like, oh, let me get changed. I'll go with you to the client intake meeting. And Sophie says, no, I got it. And I thought that was in the last episode. I thought that would be the beginning of Parker being resentful. But really, she's not. She's
Parker, like, she developed these skills and she's good at them now, but she's never gonna like to people, Steve.
Yeah.
She's never gonna like that. So if like Sophie wants to do the peopling, shoot. Sophie's more than free to do the peopling, you know? Yeah.
And I think when they're putting the con together, you get a lot more input from everybody else than in like the beginnings of the series when it was really Nate saying, okay, this is what we're going to do. This is what we're going to do. It does. Sophie is kind of the head, but everybody.
It's more of a collaborative effort.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. All right. Let's go back to it. These are some great points we're making. I really like it. So, and it all came from Parker speaking Klingon. I just love it. So, but because the Crawleys have spent so much on this building to make sure that it's safe, their profit margins or the money that they're going to make when they sell these condos to people.
He has serious cash flow problems, y'all.
Exactly. So Parker says they only have $10 million in the bank. Oh, and then Brianna was all of us who said, that sentence made my brain hurt.
That only.
Only $10 million. Ah. So they decide that Parker's going to go in as their new loan officer, Adrienne Bisset from Versailles
International or something.
Because Sophie's American accent is better than Parker's.
But apparently, Parker did not say magnifique correctly.
I know. I think she had the emphasis on the wrong syllable or something. Yes. I think she said magnifique instead of magnifique.
Magnifique. Yes.
So sorry, my French is non-existent. And then we finally get to see the Crawleys again. So not just
picture. And very much that imbalance of power dynamic. Very much so.
Yeah. Jason is sitting in like the most 70s outfit. Like his shirt is yellow and his suit is brown and it is very ugly, but he's listening to relaxation breathing technique tapes, which are actually
very new agey stuff.
They're actually the same tapes that Christian Kane's character Alex Walker listens to in Almost Paradise, the other Dean Devlin show set in the Philippines. So I think that's really good. So Parker calls his Adrienne and tells them that she's the new person on their case and she's going to come do an inspection, and he's freaking out. And then you're right, we see the power imbalance where Krista takes the phone and is like, we'd love to show you our beautiful building, and then tells him to like listen to your breathing, put your headphones back on. And then she makes significant eye contact with the driver, whose name is Liam, we learn later. And I think says three words in the whole show.
There was like an edge of contempt in Krista's voice.
Oh yeah. She's like, you're stupid. Just put your tapes back on.
Like, there's no respect there.
Yeah. So they decide they're going to have Parker meet with Jason to get a tour of the building. While she's doing that, at the exact same time, Harry and Sophie are going to pretend to be the architects and take the real Adrienne on a tour of the unfinished units and convince her to pull the loan. And Brianna, again, because she's the newest newbie, is us and asks, why does this have to happen concurrently?
But I feel like she sometimes becomes Donna in the West Wing, the exposition girl.
Yeah.
Sometimes.
Which is important because you need someone to be the straight man, the person who's going to give us the exposition. Because I didn't realize this, that all of this is going to be billed to the client.
So like, so they would know the minute Adrienne's like plane landed, like when she would when be there. So they can't,
Exactly. So they have to time this so it's perfect. And Elliot also says, besides, if it was easy, it wouldn't be as fun.
He's in like a coverall like situation with like a shovel. So, you know, he's about to get dirty. Literally. Not figuratively, people.
Which is how we love Elliot. And she, Brianna's in a coveralls as well, and they're going to go in and remodel some of the places that are under construction. And they look like they had so much fun. They're like, all right, the hallway's renovated. Let's go do the suite. And Sophie and Harry look like they're having a great time as well, giving the real Adrienne a tour.
But like, we need to go back.
Okay, what do we miss?
So Harry tried to pull a Nate.
Yes.
Let's go steal a financier or something.
It's like, okay, I have it right here. He says, all right, let's go steal a luxury development condo financier. And he's like super excited. And Parker's like, that's not how you do it. What's wrong with
No, there's no like excitement. There's no enthusiasm.
Yeah.
It's let's go steal a financier. Wife funny, it's here.
Other people can show enthusiasm, like Parker did a little shimmy last time, but yeah, you can't do that. And he's just like, well, what, you act like there are rules, but no one will tell me what they are.
And like, exactly, there are rules, Harry.
And Harry loves rules. I think Harry doesn't love rules. Harry understands rules and he knows how to get around them, but he needs to know the rules, you know? Needs to understand everything.
And Sophie's like, oh.
Oh, our Mr. Wilson. So Sophie and Harry are giving the tour. And
that is a very interesting thing. He's always Mr. Wilson to her. He doesn't call her Mr. Wilson.
Yeah.
Never calls him Harry.
Yeah, she's keeping him at arm's length for sure. And she calls Brianna by her last name later, and she's like, let's not do that. That's scary. And I think it's because he's on probation. He's in there on a probationary basis.
And at that point, we'll get there. But yeah, Brianna also was like, ooh, let me not mess up again and have her do that. Let's not do that.
Yeah, I don't like how that feels. Mommy's mad at me. So the tours, they have these fun parallels. Where they, you know, Crawley is explaining the fire safety measures, and then Sophie and Harry are saying, well, we have fire extinguisher on almost every floor.
And also the whole, yes. Mm-hmm. And they're like, literally like sparks flying. It is literally like a huge ass hazard situation.
So bad. And then as everything's, well, Parker, when they walk into the furnished condo, which I think is their condo, she notes, oh, these are interesting wall depths. And you're like, oh, I know what that means because I've watched 5 seasons of this show. Interesting wall depths means a scene. And then Krista shows up and she starts doing the thing that she's going to do the entire time she's around. But what annoys me more than that is I hate her dress.
So she doesn't even have like good wardrobe taste. That's what offends you.
She has a dress in the last scene, and I really like that outfit. But this is like a tan leather dress. Mm. And it's hideous. I hate it so much.
It doesn't suit her.
No, I don't think it suits anybody, but it's really bad. But yeah, she wants to chat with Adrienne and tells her, oh, we must know people, because didn't you graduate from the Sorbonne in 2011? Okay, so I wanted to break this down real quick.
Oh, Lord have mercy.
I graduated from college in 2007. Parker is very visibly older than I am. Also, we've seen the real Adrienne Bisset, and she's also much older than that. So what? Where are you getting your intel, Krista? What's wrong with you? And Parker's just like, oh, okay. But that's all I wanted to say about that. Like, 2011? What? No. Unless it was like she was getting her PhD.
And if so, like, why is she in finance?
Exactly. And why would we know the same people if you did 1 year?
I mean, like, if someone goes for a PhD, that sort of thing, that means they're going to academia. Mm-hmm. I feel like most of the financial world, they may get, like, some sort of master's or something, right. MBA or something. But other than that, like, no. No. Yeah. But, yeah.
And why would they be the same people, Krista? Like, what the heck?
That is her trashy nouveau riche side coming out. Her Boston Brahmin side isn't coming out.
Exactly. So as this is happening, like, one, Parker is not having a good time. And two, we find out that the real Adrienne has had it. She's like, I'm out of here. And she says, bonjour. She tries to leave. So that means they've got to get Parker out ASAP so that the time
and I- Yes. Brianna is kind of like, yo, dudes.
We've got to go.
We got to cross. Let's boogie.
Yeah. And they get Parker into a cab or a car just as Harry and Sophie and Adrienne, like,
well, I feel in. Like they break character. They're like, Sophie and Harry are freaking out. No, like, no, no.
Come back. And they turn her away from Crawley just in time, but he notices them and says, excuse me. And then this is our big reveal of one of our big reveals of the episode. Harry turns around and says, big guy. And it's really clear that he and Crawley know each other pretty well.
Which just ticks Sophie off even.
Yes. So we find out that Harry, in this like brief conversation between them, that Harry is the lawyer who helped get Crawley off scot-free. And we also kind of get it underscored that loud noises trigger something in him. And he's like, but it's
some lingering PTSD response.
Yeah.
Most likely.
But he says nothing some high-end, where is it? Yeah, nothing some truly spectacular off-brand European tranquilizers can't help. Like, so he's self-medicating, and he is, yeah, suffering from PTSD, which I would as well, and also wouldn't be able to sleep for the guilt. I do.
Yeah,
when the death toll of the Lantern Building collapsing, though, I think they said it was only 4 people. Which is remarkable. But I'm also imagining that all of those other people had horrible injuries and medical bills that I, from the sounds of things later, don't getting paid off or paid for through
college. But, yeah.
But
Sophie's kind of like not finished weaning him out.
Sophie's so mad, and he just like walks silently in front of her.
Like, Sophie's like, this is why you don't keep things from us. This is how we get in trouble. And now you're too emotionally involved, and I don't think you should even be on this case, to be frankly. You know, Sophie's not having it.
No. But then, like we were saying earlier, how this feels a lot more collaborative than it was before. Brianna pipes up and says, well, can we vote on this? Because I want to keep him around because his screw-ups make me look good.
And then which just turns her a withering look for Sophie, frankly.
Exactly. But she's like, okay, fine, let's open it up for a vote. What do you think, Elliot? And Elliot's like, he's trying to prove himself. I believe in that, or like, that means something.
I respect that.
And then Parker's up in the roof or in the ceiling.
I don't think we even see her. I think we just hear her, right?
I wonder if she wasn't available for this shot. But yeah, you just see the cord or the rope fall down. And, you know, she's like, yeah, I'm okay with it. But she reserves to push the right to push him off the roof if he messes up again.
And Parker will do it. She was this close to throwing Tara off the roof at the end of season two. She will do it.
Yeah. So, also, I like that Sophie tells him, we're not your private crusade team. Like, you can't use us this way. Like, that's not how this goes.
Yeah.
But, so now back to the job, they know that Adrian will be pulling the loan, but as Harry pointed out, that's not
always
they can find more money. They can always find more money. So what they need to do is they need to be the source of that money for long enough that the loan gets pulled and then they pull out and then they're screwed. Which Brianna gets real excited about real quick because she's like, I call dibs. And Sophie's like, okay, but I do all of the talking.
And that is the most ridiculous scene ever coming up.
So good. One, a screaming match in public about money, also not very old money. When they're just like,
that's
in this echoey lobby of the building they own. Like,
that's unseemly, Steve. You don't, old money doesn't do that. That's unseemly.
I don't have any money and I wouldn't do that. Like,
it's just not appropriate.
I guess it's not open to the public yet, so maybe they're the only people there, except Parker, Sophie, and Brianna got in. But anyway, she's got this great East London like accent, and she tells her
like something like her Annie Croy voice, maybe.
Yeah, she's like from the docks. But Brianna is playing the hottest voice in anarchist, Marxist, hyper-realist, postmodernist street art, 6 days. And
how ridiculous is that?
So fun, but it's just ridiculous enough that they're gonna buy it. And like, I like Krista's blatantly Googling 6 days in front of them, going, oh, of course I know you. I did a year at the Royal College.
Royal College of Art. And at that point, you would be like, you want to like, if she says that one more time, I'm going to strangle her.
But don't worry, she says it a few more times. And I like the flashback that we get to Brianna making art and Elliot's posing for her. And then he comes around and he's like, what is that?
I posed for 3 hours for that. And that's not even me. And Sophie just like rubs salt in the room. That so perfectly captures Elliot's essence. So,
yeah.
The juxtaposition of order and chaos and his inner demons.
And he's like, what? Where?
And he's carrying a sledgehammer for some reason.
I think they had it left over from when they were messing things up. So, but they get a tour of the unfinished penthouse that's above the Crawleys. And that's very important that they say that. And Sophie's like, okay, but you're gonna need skylights, an indoor skating rink. You'll have to fly in her favorite Japanese maple tree from Japan and all this stuff. So Krista gets called away by Liam and Jason is desperate to close this deal. So since they can't get a letter of, what did they call it? Like a
letter of credit. Yeah.
Yeah. Letter of credit. That would take 2 weeks. He's like, well, how about Sophie brags about how much money her paintings go for. And he's like, how about we just write up a contract that says that this.
Because Krista's like, I know this doesn't mean anything to you, but I did it at a college of awe. And honors of her caliber, that would solve all of my problems.
Yeah, because then we could charge everybody twice what we're already charging them. So,
but she's only faking because we know she just Googled that ish like 5 seconds before she like,
right?
Yeah.
And well, because she just says those museums they mentioned might mean nothing to you, but I have heard of the Tate. Like, bitch, everyone's heard of the Tate.
It's a freaking mess.
She's so full of herself. It's hilarious.
We are seeing no evidence of her Brahmin side. We are just seeing the trashy Kardashian side of her.
Yep.
Let's be honest. I mean, especially, yes, go ahead.
I wonder also if old money to Brianna means something different than old money means to us. You know? Like, maybe two generations of wealth is old money to Brianna. Right? When you're that young, like, oh, my great grandfather was rich, that means that's old money, right? If I didn't earn it myself,
was
it?
No, honey, we're talking about your people came over from the Mayflower rich.
No, and that's our perspective on what we.
If your name is like Carnegie, if your name is Getty, if your name is Vanderbilt, we're talking Astor. We're talking that, people.
Yeah, that's where we're coming from. But if you are a 19, 20-year-old foster child who's self-taught, you might have a different perspective on what old money. Yes. So that might also be why she called her old money, but she's acting like this. welcome to our wild conspiracy theories. Let's keep going. I'm at 34% of my battery.
Oh, Lord. We gotta move.
The Zoom just eats it up. Okay, so then just as the Japanese maple is being unpacked, Sophie calls to say that she's 6 days has taken an artist residency in Reykjavik. I wish somebody would say that about me. I would love to take an artist residency in Reykjavik. Anybody out there, hook me up. And they can pull out because Harry hid a clause way down in the
contract. And Jason was so desperate because like he was just told, make this happen, whatever it takes to make it happen. And then Crystal turns around and yells, did you even read what you signed? This lets them get away with anything. And was like, basically she's like, I clearly, if anything needs to get done and needs to be done right, I need to do it myself. I'm going to go make that phone call. And basically she's like, I am not going to let us fail. Now you need to let me do what I do and let me make my phone call.
Yes. I also really enjoyed Jason's like, why does everything bad happen to me?
Oh, like, God.
And then you almost don't blame Krista for being so dismissive of him, but you do because she's an evil person. And so, you know, we thought that was going to be it. We thought, but no, Krista did make a call. She has some powerful family friends. And Harry gets an invite to a party with the Al-Abadis, who...
He is just down and out. And he's basically like, game over. They won.
But Sophie says, we never say no to a party.
You were invited to a party, Mr. Wilson.
Mr. Wilson, you're going to go. What they need for this to happen at this party is for it to be an absolute mess. So the Al-Abadis do not become shadow partners. And so Brianna has a lot of ideas. She wants to mess with the furniture. She wants to add rumble packs to the building.
Makes it what gives him vertigo or something or other.
Yeah, Parker is like, what's this do? And points it. And Brianna falls over, which I like that she gets to do a lot of physical humor. Because this is something that with the fluid in your inner ear and gives you vertigo.
So basically, they just look at Brianna like, yeah, readjust the dosage, dear.
Okay. So she does also point out that the radio signal isn't going to reach from the food truck. And so they're going to set up in the empty suite upstairs so that they can get at the office, Jason's office. And Sophie's like, why do you need
our senses are tingling. Yeah.
Yeah. She's like, I smell bullshit. And we remember from earlier that Parker realized there was a safe in the wall. Harry wants to get
interesting wall depth. Yeah.
Yeah. Harry is convinced that there are files, the files that we need to incriminate Jason are in there. And she's like, yeah, but that wasn't part of the plan. And this was not part of it. And Parker's like, it would only be 5 minutes. Please let me break into a safe. So she relents, and they're both, they just short of high five each other about
and
it.
Basically, and Sophie's like, bye. At 6 minutes, we're out. Like, that is such like a mom thing.
It totally is. Also, I like that Harry was like, please?
Basically, like, mommy, can we have an extra cookie? Please, yeah. Mommy.
Can we stop at McDonald's on the way home?
Yeah. Do you have McDonald's money? I mean, did you get that? Like if you asked for McDonald's, did you get, like, do you have McDonald's money?
Oh, no, I knew not to ask for McDonald's. I knew we didn't have McDonald's money.
No.
I just kept reading and waited till we got home. Let's see. So,
I mean, when I was a kid, McDonald's was like a treat, like a rare, like occasional, like once a month or something treat. And it was like a huge deal. We got to go to McDonald's.
Yeah, no, that's why huge I did not. I'd rather be surprised than like want something and not get it. You know what I mean? So, now they're ready to infiltrate this party. Elliot goes in as the head chef to the caterer, and then he offers her the menu for her approval, and she features, like, my French pronunciation is not good, but hers is like awful. She says cassoulet de Bourgogne.
I thought it was cassoulet de Bourgogne.
No, it is, but she's like pronounces every letter. It's bad. Like,
again.
And he's like
trashy nouveau riche side.
Yeah. And you know, he asks her if she's been abroad, which
he's buttering her up, like he is getting his flirt on a little bit.
I got it as like he was like as like an elder gay man, very approving of her, and not just like I'm flirting with
her. He's just buttering her up, really.
Yeah, he knows exactly the buttons to push to get her to like be like, oh yes, and then just dismiss him. And which is a good thing because underneath his silver dome were
there were no escargot de cassoulet escargot de bourguignon.
Yeah.
And see, my French accent was better than that.
It was much better than hers. Good job. And you didn't, are you saying you didn't do a year at the Royal College of Art in London?
I spent 1 week in Paris in 2005 on vacation with my family. That's it.
There you go. That's, I mean, your credentials are better than hers. So, let's see.
I mean, like, yeah. Elliot, like, kind of enjoying himself. That's like, you know, with the
no, whole. No, he was like, he turns around, he's like, oh my God, that was bad. And he turns back and looks over his shoulder and he sees her grab the chauffeur guy and head out. And he's like, but doesn't mention it to anybody. And then,
which again, trashy nouveau riche. Old money would never deal with the help like that. Or if they did, it would do so much more discreetly than that.
Yeah.
That's all I'm saying.
I think your stance is well noted. And I think it's backed up by a lot of evidence. In this essay, Lisa Will. So
then like Elliot runs into Jason.
Yeah, and he hands over some files that somebody gave him to give to Krista, supposedly. And he's like, okay, I'm not going to tip you. He's like, all right, man, bye.
Which, I mean, Elliot doesn't appreciate that.
No.
So this is basically Elliot said, oh, you deserve everything you got coming to you, buddy.
Right? He's not going to feel badly in a little bit. So I wrote Parker and Harry, but Sophie and Harry are chatting as he gets ready, and he's like trying to put cufflinks on, but he's having a crisis of conscience as he's doing it, because he is remembering going to these parties and he didn't like who he became at them, and he didn't want the Leverage crew to see him like this.
He was saying, that's why I didn't say anything. So of course, Sophie being the grifter she is, she reads him and she's like, so that's why you're like freak. That's why you didn't say anything, and that's why you're fumbling with these cufflinks. Because he's like, oh, I'm used to like schmoozing assholes at parties. That's what I used to do. And Sophie's like, and yet you spent 10 minutes on those cufflinks.
You know? Well, also, I feel like if I was getting dressed and Sophie Devereaux was sitting on a couch watching me, I would also be fumbling my cufflinks. I would just be like, she's very pretty and very intimidating. But, he tells her that he's like, I won't let you down. And she's like, yeah, you better not, Mr. Wilson. And then she leaves, and his face is very like, oh God, I hope I fucking don't let them down. And then the next scene, we're in the-
Gina Bellman is just so good.
She's so good. The next scene opens with her in their like miniature headquarters in the suite that's upstairs from the Crawleys. And I noted, I was like, I really love her dress here. It's really cute. It's like a long kind of sheath with a little slit. And she's got cool, chunky ankle boots. Anyways, I just keep noticing her outfits. I mean, I always do because she dresses very well. But so far, when she's not been playing a character on the con, she's been in all black. Like she's still, you know, they're coding her as being in mourning. And it's just been really fun to kind of track her outfits and try to align that with her mental state.
It's almost like she's like, as the season progresses, she comes more out of her shell.
Yeah. So I've been trying to keep an eye out for that because I noticed it maybe in the fourth or fifth episode. And I was like, oh, really? She has really just been wearing black. And I'll come back to that in a little bit as well. As Brianna's going over all of the things and Parker's like planting little Bucky and other stuff, or she will in a minute, Brianna takes a moment. She's like, are we the bad guys? And Sophie's like, oh yeah, never.
Absolutely.
We're not heroes. We're just necessary. Which for some reason, that line, even though it's not the same, reminds me of that line from Into the Woods that the witch says. Yeah, she said, it's from the song, The Last Midnight.
Yeah, I think that like John Rogers also has this this quote.
Yeah. Okay, so she's talking to the baker, I think. She says, you're so nice. You're not good. You're not bad. You're just nice. I'm not good. I'm not nice. I'm just right. And I don't know. I get that vibe from this. Like, we're not heroes. We're just necessary.
Yeah. Like,
we're not nice. We're here to make things right. Mm-hmm. And if that means we have to fuck up this evil guy, we're going to fuck up this evil guy. And I'm not going to feel bad about it because I'm doing my job. Then it goes immediately to, oh wait, did you have a John Rogers quote?
Yeah, I think our characters are not heroes, they're the protagonists. They're not necessarily like the good guy, I think, something like that, yeah.
And I think that's something that's hard for audiences. I mean, there are a lot of shows that have anti-heroes in them. You know, Hannibal is really popular, but like, I do think it takes some, especially for like these kind of Robin Hood characters, in your head, you're like, oh no, they're bad guys being good guys. But at the end of the day, they're still breaking the law. They're still doing things wrong to make things right. And that is something that it's important to remind the viewer of every so often.
Yeah.
And they did it really well.
End of day, our people are protagonists, not necessarily heroes. Yeah.
Yeah. Boy, I like it. I love it. It's so good. I love Jenna.
It's complex. It's reality. Like, we're all human.
Good God, I wish this was reality. I wish what they're about to do would happen in real life.
I mean, like, let's be honest. We are all, both of us, all of us, capable of great good and great evil. Like, you and I have both done really good things, and we have also both really done really fucked up things. It's just, it is what it is. Yeah.
And speaking of that, the very next scene is, I call it pep talk in the elevator, and Elliot talking to Harry, and he asks Elliot, like, how did you cope with it? Like, how did you, the things that you did? And Elliot's got his graveliest voice on, his most Batman
great
voice.
Great acting moment from Christian Kane, I must say.
He's so good. And he says, I decided not to care. I didn't care who I hurt, who paid me. And then when Nate put this team together, I thought it was one and done, that I'd go back to that. But Sophie Parker Hardison and Nathan Ford showed me that there was another way. And little by little, you get a piece of your soul back. And then to undercut this very serious thing, we get a, ain't that right, Parker? And we get a very muffled, absolutely, because Parker is obviously in the catering cart. Which is so good. I love the serious with the little beats of humor.
It's perfect. Necessary. It's totally too much necessary. Drama. It's like, it's too much. You need, like, it can't just be all this serious. Like, you need to break it up.
Yeah. So then, to break it up even more, when they get there, Elliot rolls Parker by the office, and she ninja rolls out of the cart into the, it's a very open plan. Like, there's no door. It's just like an open doorway, which I have issue with later when we get back to it. And then it goes back up to upstairs, and I have another issue. I think a thing that kind of didn't bother me, but that I always noticed in the older Leverage, is that I think that they didn't have a huge budget. And so sometimes the lighting or the cameras weren't super great, and so things were not the best quality. But that's not an issue now, because cameras are cheaper, and I think they had a little bit more money from Amazon and IMDb. So sometimes the cameras are too sharp, and you see, like, any little inconsistencies. And I've heard from, like, listening to other, like, Black celebrities. So, like, Nicole Byer from Making It, or from Nailed It, she mentioned once on her podcast that she does her own makeup on set because nobody can blend her skin tone, because makeup artists are used to working on white skin and they can't do black skin.
I remember I think it was Franny Leibowitz, Annie Leibowitz, photographer, when she did that, I think it was Lupita Nyong'o or Octavia Spencer or Viola Davis. Mm-hmm. Like, a lot of people were like, this is dreadful.
Yeah.
The light, they did not, like, she didn't know, like, how to light it properly. Yeah. And then, like, a lot of black folks on Twitter were like, see this? And they would pull up other photos, I guess, from, like, other publications where, like, Lupita were, like, they were glowing, they're luminous.
Right.
But yeah, they did that to her. Or it could have been Simone or somebody, but, like, it was some photographer and the lighting was just not right at all. Yeah.
So it's this very white bias. And, like, yes, I've seen that talked about a lot in just, like, how people of color are lit, and it's always, you know, a white bias for that. But this, like, there's just this scene and Brianna's makeup, it's just not the right skin tone and it's not blended down.
Blended properly.
Yeah. And so I'm like, partially, I think it was something that the makeup department needs to do a little better, but also, I don't know what lights they had on. And then it was a close up. And so the cameras are just so good that it's going to catch everything. And I was, every time I see it, I'm like, ugh, no, you did wrong by Brianna. And I'm like, Elise Shannon does not deserve this. And I think it was just like, it had like a blue green undertone to it. And that's not her skin tone. And it just was very jarring. But anyways, yes. That's some inherent bias in the film industry. In a otherwise really great, wonderful show.
And not just makeup, hair. Like, hairdressers, Hollywood hairdressers, like, on set hairdressers, people don't know what to do with with black hair.
I think they've done a great job with Brianna's hair so far, but
perhaps she did it herself.
I know. So
yeah.
Anyways, back to this party. Harry is schmoozing and proving to all of us just how good of a bad guy he is. Like, Brianna's like, wow, he's really good.
And shout out to Taiwan. Shout out to my people.
Yeah, because he like has this outrageous way to make money for people that he just theoretically posits for them. And Mr. Alabadi is like, how much would it cost to get you out of retirement?
I'd like to cut up your jib, sir.
Yes, I like this guy. And he's like, I needed a Christino. Excuse me.
Like, you can tell the self-loathing is kicking in at this point.
Yeah.
And then Sophie's like, don't you do it.
You keep it together, man.
Don't you do it.
Parker is meeting a new friend, the safe, but she finds out she needs an iris scan for it. So she is ready to go get some chopsticks and use them to remove an eyeball.
I didn't even know what she wanted to do with the chopsticks. Like, I don't want to know.
I don't like thinking about eyeballs because they're too soft. And introducing chopsticks into some mental picture I have of that is very upsetting for me. So we're going to move on because Brianna has a workaround. And apparently you can fool a scanner with a high enough resolution photo. So I bet that's a real thing as well.
Probably.
But when she gets into the safe, all she finds are receipts and some workman's comp claims.
I'm assuming Harry hears that through the comps. So he's just even more just like.
Yeah, devastated by that. Like, I did this for
a reason. And Sophie said, so like, you keep it together. Don't you? They're sensing it.
He doesn't, dear listener. He snaps. And he like kind of.
I mean, hurried. He tried to rally because he took a deep breath and like, let's talk about like this fine. But then, like as it went on, when you know Jason's like complimenting him, like I knew you were the perfect guy for this job. Like you did, and Harry just couldn't take it anymore. Even though Sophie's like, don't you do it, you know?
Yeah. So he gets asked to leave, uninvited from the party. And Sophie is pissed because he got burned. He also has left Elliot and Parker there.
And so now their access is cut. So it's not going to be as straightforward anymore.
Yeah.
And then she even snapped at Brianna.
Yeah, because Brianna is giving him a thumbs up while he's getting his dressing down. And she's like, and you are not graded on a curve. Miss Casey. And she's like, oh, please don't call me that. It's horrible.
That last name thing.
I don't like it.
I don't like it. Like that Chris Evans gift, I don't like. That was not even just, I'm not mad, I'm disappointed. I'm mad.
Yeah, I'm just mad. I'm just mad at you.
I mean, I don't know about you, but yeah, even that was like, oh my God, I don't want to piss Sophie off, you know?
No. I mean, I didn't want her watching me get dressed. She was mad at me. Oh, I hate when people are mad at me. Oh my gosh. But since they've got everything else prepped, all they have to do,
execute.
That's right. So
at this point, Chris is kind of like, what is wrong with you? Pull it together, man. But she's trying to keep up appearances. Like she's trying to smooth things over with Sana.
Because Parker is using her first-person shooter skills that she got from playing video games Partisan,
and she's trying to cover for Jason. He's all about family, you know. Because Jason tried to play off like, you know, what are you gonna do? Harry's daughter is sick, so I told him we had to go. Of course, man, go. You know.
Hmm. And he's stumbling around because his inner ear is all messed up. I wonder if this thing is a real thing that she's shooting at him and why it doesn't bother anybody but him. How is it so well targeted? I don't know. Yeah. I didn't look into that. So he's getting vertigo and he's like,
yeah,
you guys feel that? And nobody knows what he's talking about. And as he's like, trying to leave the table, he keeps like almost falling over.
And Crystal's trying to be like, too much champagne, honey?
Mm-hmm. So he goes to his office because he's forgotten something there. And Sophie says, all right, now we're going to trigger his subconscious and make him fear that the tower isn't safe. And they like have these files downloading to his computer when he gets to his office that are showing that things are wrong with the building. Then is this when he gets the call from Elliot, or does
he sees like someone trying to send Trista messages? It's yeah. not safe. Trista, call me. Like, you have, this is important. Like, why call me? So like he calls Elliot, and then Elliot's like, God, man, I've been trying to get a hold of you. Like, you know, I leave me out of it, or whatever it is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you went behind your husband's back and you hired subpar contractors. And it's a substandard pour on the foundation, and just write me a check and leave me out of it. And so now he is questioning Trista.
Everything. Full blown panic attack.
Yeah, and then we've got the rumbling sounds that Brianna put together. Little Bucky goes off, and Trista comes in, and like glasses like shattered off the bar, and she's like, "What are you? Are you drunk?" And he starts flipping out at her and saying, "You did this. Like, you went behind my back, and you hired bad contractors." And this is when I'm like, "This is open concept. There's not a door on this."
And like, I feel like she gets very Cher on him. Where like, she's basically slapping him. She's like, "Get it together."
Yeah. Oh, I copied what it is she said. And first, she validates him, which I thought was actually kind of nice, because he's, you know, obviously having a breakdown. And she's like, "That happened. Like, the horrible thing did happen to you. But the people who are dead are dead. They don't matter. We do." And you're just like, oh my
God. Oh my God.
So evil. So
horrible.
Awful. And then somehow Sana and her dad haven't heard her screaming at her husband in the other room. And they tell her that they accept the deal and they want to go into business with them. So she decides
she's like, Trista's giddy. She thinks their whole, like, yeah, you know,
this is
they're like at the home stretch, the light at the end of the tunnel.
Mm-hmm. And so she's going to go down to the sales office and get the paperwork, but she detours and grabs Liam by the tie. Ugh. And you're like, "What? You need to focus, woman. This is not the time for a quickie. What are you doing?"
And because first they were like, "Let's all just go to the office and sign the paperwork." And they, "No, never mind. I'll go and then get the paperwork." So basically she just wanted to, like, getting it on with Liam for a minute, basically.
Oh, I didn't mention this. When Elliot comes back upstairs, Parker's not with him. And it's because Brianna asked her to go pull the security tape for the office. And I mean, you're supposed to be kind of confused by that. And Sophie's thinks that's the right idea. But I kept getting confused by when they would say the office. I kept thinking they were talking about like the sales office downstairs. I was like, why do they need footage from that? But they're meaning Jason's office. So,
I mean, wasn't that when Brianna sort of got back into Sophie's good graces when she was like, "Good thinking, nice job."
Yeah.
Brianna, you're not getting Miss Casey, you're getting a Brianna.
No. Now Sophie says it's time for act three, and act three is to literally crack open the ceiling above Jason and Elliot. It's Elliot's job, but he lets Harry do it. Lets him have a moment. He's like, "Just have fun with it, man." And this is again, you know, back to what we talked about at the beginning, where Jason is very selfish. So in this case, he thinks that the building's going down and he wants to leave again. And again, doesn't take anybody with him.
Runs by the Albani.
Yeah, we're in the first one, he was in the stairwell by himself So it makes sense to just keep going to try to get out. And this one, he's literally standing next to the Al-Abadis who are helping him out. Like, he could be like, we got to get out of here.
Follow me. Follow me.
He just ghosts. He's just out of there. Oh. And Sophie's like, my God, this man is horrible. I didn't feel any guilt, but I really feel no guilt now.
But yeah, and then I think, isn't this when Krista barges in with Liam in the makeout session? And she's like and we're getting her evil speech of evil, basically, because she's already planning, like, I'm going to ditch him. I'm going to get money. And then you and I can.
Yeah. She doesn't need to say that because, you know, so many times the evil person who's using somebody else and they're like in a secret relationship, when they're talking, they're like, then I'll be free. She's not saying
to be with you.
Yeah. Like, her literal words are, then maybe she says we'll be free, but it's not that we can be together. It's like, I'm free. You know, it's just because I don't want to be in this anymore. And you are also fun to have around. And now I'm going to tell you to beat these people up. And
I mean, like, it's very clear he's like a bit of a himbo situation.
Yeah.
Like, she just sees him as like a boy toy, a pretty boy toy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, she doesn't love him or care about him. She's just using him for his body. He's love cute.
Love isn't about anybody, you know?
Yeah.
So Harry goes to stop Crawley because they realize he's going up and not down.
So Sophie tells him.
Yeah.
Earn it back. This is your second chance.
This is don't your fourth chance, our Mr. Wilson. Don't fuck it up. And Liam stayed to fight Elliot, and Brianna is psyched to watch this happen in real time because she's heard so many stories.
This is so much better in person.
And then she tries to help, but she like hits him very softly with a stick. And Elliot is like, don't be disrespectful to this fight. Like, could you just don't do that? Like, if you're not gonna actually be helpful, just stand there. And then she tosses him the stick and he breaks it in two, and she goes, oh, now he's got two sticks. And then he keeps beating up Liam, and it's great. But as you were saying, up on the roof, Harry has followed Jason up there, and he's standing on this ledge, and Harry's like, no, don't jump, like, we can fix things. I don't know. We can make it better.
You can still make it. You can still turn this around and make it right.
Yeah. Because for some reason, Harry thinks that
there's a shred of decency in Jason that he can speak to.
Like, bless your heart. There's not. And he jumps.
Now that was a Southern bless your heart if there ever was one. You did not mean bless your heart.
No.
Like, do Southerners ever mean that sincerely, ever?
I'm sure sometimes, yeah. Yeah, if someone says something nice, oh, bless your heart. Like, that's sweet. Yeah. And actually, like, when I say that to Harry, like, I'm saying your intentions are pure. They're misguided in this case. Jason has no redeemable qualities. But you thinking that he might is
speaks well of you.
Yeah, speaks well of you. So in that way, bless your heart is not meant in a mean
because way. I feel like I've never actually heard of a circumstance where a Southerner means that sincerely. It's usually very passive aggressive. But I suppose I feel like, oh, her daddy passed away, bless her heart. Like, in a sincere way, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Or somebody surprises you with something. Oh, bless your heart. That was so nice of you to think
we,
of me.
Like, you know, oh, bless her heart. She has a death in the family. We have to go bring them a casserole now, you know.
The phrase doesn't work sarcastically unless it is also used sincerely.
This is true. This is true.
You did not think that you would get into... No, if you've listened to me talk to Lisa... You know that we will talk about the phrase bless your heart because it's her favorite thing. favorite thing after saying y'all, appropriating y'all, which is totally fine. Y'all is for y'all.
Means y'all is universal, Steve. Y'all is for everybody.
I know. It's the perfect. It's the perfect word. As the shirt says, y'all means all. Totally appropriate too. Anybody in any country can use it.
yes.
Blanket permission.
Yes. Yes. So.
All right. Are you ready to go back?
Okay. We're good. We're good.
Jason jumps off the building, but it's okay. We don't need any more trigger warnings because he has jumped into a tube.
I think we're supposed to be led to believe that he jumped off it and committed suicide.
Well, it does go to a commercial break right then. But then when it comes back, Harry's like, oh, he went down a tube? And Parker's like, oh, that's right. That thing was real that he mentioned because he talked
about during their talk about their fire, their health fire safety. Like, we have an emergency chute. Yeah.
So it's a spiraling chute. And I was wondering if they're real, and they are. I don't think this one is what they usually look like because I found a video of one. And it's not permanently attached to the outside, which I think is a smart thing. It's like in a case and you have to like deploy it. And the video that I was watching, which is from March 2021, so this is very recent.
Very recent.
Was saying that this one at least needed a trained professional to do it. But then the guy hosting the video got to go down it in a GoPro. And it really does spiral you because if you think if you just go down a chute, gonna go really fast and you're gonna go splat on the ground.
If you spiral, that slows you down.
Something in the way that the tube is constructed, instead of for every like foot or whatever, you go around. It's crazy. It's really, really cool. I'll put a link to
you
the video.
You get more friction.
Yeah. So it slows you down and then he still
I think it's probably something to do with like
I don't know.
I'm pretty sure it's something about like it's slowing you down with the friction and you know, and so you don't break your neck of hurling down this thing. So,
well, yes, yeah. That's what
maybe is that why like some water slides are like twirly too, instead of just going straight down?
But some go straight down.
Oh, interesting.
But yeah, this is to slow your velocity so that you don't kill yourself trying to get out of something that's trying to kill you.
Or break a bone.
Or what?
Or break a bone if you land land hard. Yeah.
So Harry jumps down after him, which I think is also getting him some points back with Sophie. And just as he gets down, Crawley has jumped in a cab and is peeling out. And so he thinks that they've failed. But Sophie's like, please, we've had other plans in place the entire time.
We don't rush the ending, darling.
Right? So we get a flashback to when Parker was finishing up her visit with Crawley. She tells him she's actually leaving Versailles Holdings or whatever it was called, going into another business and that-
More clandestine.
Yes. So he should call her if he ever needs help. So-
Or something to get cleaned up or something like that. Yeah.
So he calls her immediately from the cab and she's like, oh, that's fine. I will transfer emergency funds to your account. Give me your account info. So he does. And as we learned in the first episode of the show this season, you shouldn't do that over the phone. People know. And as we should all know anyways. So instead of getting money,
don't get that sort of information out over the phone like that. No.
No. So she takes all 10 million and he's like, okay, so we have the money, but like, that's not everything. And she's like, oh no, there's more because Parker,
we are thorough. We don't leave a job half done.
Yeah.
No. Are you new? You're new here, Mr. Wilson, aren't you?
Yes.
That's not how we roll, darling. We channel Ivanka. Ivana Trump at the end of First Watch Club when she says, don't get mad, get everything. We get everything.
It was a great callback. Freaking love that movie. So Yeah, so they have this incriminating video taken just moments before of Krista yelling at Jason and all them.
Like, basically, shut up. If Sana and her father hear you, this will ruin everything. Right.
Yeah. Him saying, you paid for shoddy work, blah, blah, blah. And it gets sent as a blast to her and the Alabodies while they're toasting.
I'm assuming through the Bluetooth or whatever. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
And
yeah, by meanwhile, Krista just thinks they're home free now. It's all good.
Nope. Her husband has abandoned her.
But she doesn't care. She's getting with the hot chauffeur. Whatever.
The hot chauffeur's not gonna want anything to do with her when he finds out she doesn't have $10 million anymore. And the Alabodies are ready to go to the airport, and Sana's gonna tell everyone in their circle. And she's never gonna be able to sell so much as a timeshare again.
Like, it's very clear that hurt Krista more than losing the money.
Right.
The fact that Sana is going to trash her reputation in those circles that she values, that she so desperately wants to be a part of after her year at the Royal College part. But you know that part was the part that hurt when Sana was like, and everyone in our world is going to know about this.
Yeah. Because like they said earlier, you can get more money, but that reputation. And that's what leverage does, right? Like, they find their bad guy's Achilles heel and they're going to go for it. And that's really hers, is her status.
And like, I think like John Rogers has said multiple times, Dean Devlin always insists that a villain be brought down by their own sins.
Yeah.
She thinks too highly of herself. We're going to take that from her.
Exactly.
What's her freaking year at the Royal College of Art?
Yeah. It's not going to help you now. Really wasn't helping you before, to be honest. So I really like, and I've said it before, the Lucille becoming the food truck, because then they can just chill at this food truck, and it's really not obvious where a big black van now is kind of, what's that van doing there? You know? And so they're just like sitting outside the van. Elliot's bringing them food.
Can we have a moment for Lucille? Can we just have a moment for Lucille?
Oh yeah. I mean, Lucille is always with us in our hearts. And she's still part of their world, because she is still integrated into every single one of these food trucks. Lucille has just evolved.
We love you, Lucille.
Yes. So Parker runs up, hands Sophie the files from the safe. And then she's like, I need to be more streamlined for my next trip down the chute. And they take bets on whether she's going down head first or feet first.
And everybody's basically, oh, she's so going head first.
100%. So Harry's like, okay, so we did it. Like, what did we really accomplish? And they tell him, the building's going to go up for auction. We're going to buy it for pennies on the dollar. We're going to donate it and most of the $10 million to a low-income housing charity.
Nonprofit.
Yeah. Nonprofit, thank you. And then the rest is going to go to help Isabella. And Sophie gives Harry the files as well. And she's like, and you see if you can do something with this. Maybe this will be helpful too. And then we get a scene of him sitting in the Isabella and Theo Javi's kitchen again. And it turns out that the workman's comp papers that they found was Crawley paying off just one benefactor, and that's Theo Javi, because he had been there. Well, Harry makes the deductive leap that Mateo didn't have a green card, so probably Javi doesn't have
one. Javi is also undocumented.
Yes, so he's like, I want to help you, but you have to come clean. Like, you have to be honest so we can keep move forward with this. And he finally does like open up, and he says, I was there the day of the collapse, and I heard Crawley telling my brother that he didn't care. And then we see like a flashback where Mateo like sent him to get lunch, so he wasn't there for the collapse. And they,
so much racking of the guilt here. So much.
So the Crawleys came to him after the collapse, and they said, you know, take
his money, quiet,
or we'll get you deported. And you're like, I'm really glad we fucked these people up. because
so that was also my thing. So they paid workman's comp for Uncle Javi, so
his hush money.
Okay.
Yeah. Because he was an eyewitness to Jason saying he didn't care.
And Uncle Javi just racked with him because, like, I felt like I had to take that money or else Isabel was going to be alone.
Yeah. Oh, it's hard. And then it, like, pans over because he's agreed to work with Harry because he's like, I'm going to help you get real justice for your brother and for your dad. And then it, like, pans over and the rest of the team are just watching through this kind of, like, window into the living room. And Sophie's like, are you proud of our Mr. Wilson to Elliot? And he's like, yeah, it's not every day someone gets a little piece of their soul back, which is that nice little callback to the elevator.
He's having like a proud papa moment.
He is, because, you know, the season started off with Hardison using Elliot as an example of like, this guy has done so many horrible things, but he also has spent the last 10, 15 years waking up every day thinking, what can I do to make people's lives better? And none of these people ever know that he's done this for them. And then to have, you know, not even halfway through this first half, Elliot already being like, look, this is a good thing that he's starting on this path. But this is where I noticed kind of for the first time, Sophie's not wearing all black. She has like a white shirt on. And I'm like, oh, are we healing? Have we moved on to a new stage of grieving? We could leave the black behind.
Grief is a process, Steve.
I know.
And everyone's journey is different and you can't rush the process.
I know, but it is fun to track it through her clothes. Doesn't always move forward, right? Like it's
not a linear path. Yeah,
you can setbacks and so I don't even know if to say it's a journey, because a journey implies like moving in one direction, right?
Yeah,
I was like, my favorite, and I hate to say my favorite because it's about being sad, but like way of describing it was like, I saw a post and it was like an image of a box and your grief is a ball inside the box. And so every time the ball hits the walls, that's when you're really grieving and really upset. And as time goes on, the ball gets smaller, but it's still bouncing. So the smaller it is, the less likely it is to hit the walls of the box. But every time it does, it's still gonna hurt. So like that grief's always gonna be with you, right?
It comes like in waves and sometimes like, and sometimes, like, it's the oddest things that can trigger it. Obviously, if, like, birthdays and anniversary or just, like, you know.
A smell. Remember,
my dad loves the Beatles, you know. But he loves Peanuts. So, if I ever hear the Beatles, like, I just think of him. It, you know, I'm sure it's the same way with your loved one, you know.
Yeah. And sometimes it's they would have loved that. Like, oh, they're. And you're not upset. And then another day, the exact same thing will have you crying, you know?
It's yeah.
Unpredictable. Mm. All right.
He's a bitch.
It is. It really, really is. Okay. So did I learn anything? I'm always telling people they need to go listen to the official Leverage After Show podcast on Electric Entertainment, so you should go. They had a really cute one where they played a game with Christian and Beth, where they were like asking what their favorite emojis were and like all these like little like lightning round questions, and Christian was like he almost said the eggplant emoji, but then he said it was the angry emoji.
The angle what? The anger.
The red angry thing.
But we all know
is the eggplant emoji. That was what he wanted to say. I don't know if he was saying it as a joke or what, but Christian came.
It could go either way.
Yeah. So always go listen to that podcast. It's got a lot of fun stuff.
Yes. I'm gonna just say again, shout out to Kate Rourke, Kate Noble. I have met her. She's a lovely person, and I'm not surprised that she's kicking all sorts of ass heading this route.
It's, I mean, I've said it before, I'll say it again. This is like the best reboot of a show that I've ever seen.
And it didn't surprise me. It spoke so well of her, because after this first half drop, like she said, like she gave a shout out to all the writers, and you know, and she's like, shout out to John Rogers, who was like a creative consultant, but answered questions. And John's like, oh, I was a barely whatever. And then, and then Kate's like, yeah, basically called you like 3 times a day or something like that.
And he's like, compared to how I was involved in the first series, nothing. That's nothing.
This is good. Yeah. I mean, I love that he and Chris Daddy and Dean Devlin just totally trusted Kate to take it and run with it. You know, like they trusted her.
I think Dean still had a pretty good hand in it, but yeah, they were just like, and she made it sound like they came to her and they were like, hey, do you want to do this? And she's like, wow, yeah, I do. Thank you. So that's really cool.
It sounds to me that like this is where she really wanted to be. And I guess publishing was part of her way, something she did to try to get there or on her way there. So this is what she's really wanting to do now.
That's cool. I mean, it's writing. Mm-hmm. You can't tell me there's not a lot of love in this show. So I think the romance angle, it's a good crossover. It's a really good crossover. Like we said, don't really have a high slight, but I had a dream that was leverage related last night.
And I was Do tell.
There was a lot of stuff because, you know, dreams are really weird. But part of it, I was hanging out with Beth.
Oh.
That was really cool. Yeah. But then there was like, but it was Beth the actress. But then also there was like a little bit of a leverage storyline, and feel free, anybody who works for leverage, you can use the story, storyline. Just, I would like a producer's credit or to be in the background of an episode. But there was they had to do a con inside of a virtual reality video game. So it was a little white rabbit job, but Elliot was like having to beat up virtual reality bad guys, and I just think that'd be really cool because I think he would be like really angry that he wasn't hitting actual things, and there'd be a lot of damn Hardison lines, and then I think Hardison and Brianna would have a lot of fun trying to hack a virtual reality world. So yeah, that was my dream. All right, Lisa, do you have anything you want to plug or tell us where people can find you?
Nothing really to plug.
Not yet, but you've had some really exciting news lately, and if you wanted to talk about
Lord. I still don't know how you found the cat in box gift for that. How?
You say this every time, and every time I say I'm a librarian.
Yes, so I have a 3-book deal with Thule, and the first book is coming out hopefully January of 2023. It is going, the first is going to be, it's probably going to be called The Year of Cecily, and it's going to be, story kicks off with the hero of Cecily going home for New Year and all the food and all that stuff, and it just kind of takes off from there. Hopefully people will like it.
I'm so excited. I love descriptions of food. I love parties. I love family stuff. And she's like, sounds like a badass lawyer.
She has no qualms about being the type of lawyer who gives all the lawyers a bad name. Yeah.
So she and Harry would have gotten along well.
No, basically she's in San Francisco and she kind of does like land use and zoning and like she, you know, mergers and things like that. So $100 million deals, you know, for buying companies and that's kind of stuff she does. So she's like, look, I have pseudo little loan. Mama's got bills to pay. These loans are going to pay themselves. Okay.
Right.
And everybody, even corporate monoliths, deserve good, vigorous representation.
Okay. Sure. That's awesome. I'm so excited for you. I'm so happy.
Thank you, Steve.
Retweeting everything. So cool. So, like, everybody on this podcast is going to be a published author at some point. We're so excited about your book deals.
Thank you. Amazing.
I'm so proud of you. I'm so happy for you.
Thank you.
Is there any place you want people to follow you so they can keep track of these, you know, things that are happening with you?
Well, I'm also at lisalynnbooks.com, and I'm trying to be better about blogging regularly and giving updates. So you can follow me there. But mostly I'm at La Foresta One.
So yeah, go follow. Are you on your La Foresta One on?
Correct. On all the socials, basically. Okay.
And you can follow me as usual on Twitter at LibrariansD. And you won't see us again, but you'll hear us again in 2 weeks. Tara's coming on to talk about the paranormal activity job.
The Halloween episode.
Halloween episode of Leverage. I love Halloween so much. I'm so excited.
It's your day of Jubilee.
It's my day of Jubilee. My whole month of Jubilee. And we're going to start it early because it'll still be September. Okay. Lisa, thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you for having me.
I'll talk to you soon.
Good to see you.
Good to see you. All right. Bye.